You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Friday last week, the consultation process for the proposed new English curriculum for intermediate and high school students ended. The proposed English curriculum will result in senior high school students learning Shakespeare and 19th century texts and spelling and keyboard lessons for younger students. However, concerns have been raised that the proposed curriculum is Eurocentric, does not engage with Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and lacks Māori and Pacific texts. I spoke to Claudia Rosas, a lecturer in critical studies at the University of Auckland, about why elements of Te Ao Māori should be incorporated into the English curriculum and the importance of Māori and Pacific texts being engaged with. What are the proposed changes to the English curriculum?
It's more standardised, so it's a more standardised version of the curriculum compared to what we currently have, which is more of a framework and that details things like achievement outcomes, but doesn't actually detail too much knowledge or content, and a lot of that is largely left up to teachers. So we've got a much more standardised curriculum, that's one thing. It probably has a slightly stronger sense of itself, a sense of it as being a distinct subject, perhaps, from the others. But from what I can tell, what I would say is that we probably have a curriculum, or at least an English curriculum now, that is in keeping with other changes to curricula that have happened in other Western countries that have what we call, have sort of gone towards the knowledge turn, right? So this notion of a knowledge-rich curriculum, which is, as I say, it's a transnational trend to turn towards knowledge-based curricula rather than a competency-based curricula.
Will the new curriculum engage, well, at least what's been proposed, will it engage with Māori and Pacific authors and Te Tiriti o Waitangi?
Well, that's a good question because, so one of the things that teachers have, the sector has responded quite strongly to, is that even though it is a more standardised curriculum, and I mean, some people would say there is a level of prescription that's built in there, so there are particular text requirements and so on. And what people have noticed is that there is a mandate, for example, for all year 12 and 13 students to study Shakespeare and also a 19th century text. However, there is no mandate at all to study Māori authors, Pacific authors, and certainly not what I would call, say, Māori cultural texts or literary traditions. We might say that are embedded in Te Ao Māori, such as haka, mōtiatia, oriori, whakapauki, and so on. So, you know, very interestingly, for a curriculum that has become more standardised and has got some text requirements, the mandates don't feel like a curriculum that has been written for Aotearoa New Zealand, if that makes sense. So, as I say, it's very much in keeping with broader international terms in terms of, you know, of producing a curriculum that wants to look more Englishy and have some more standardisation. But oddly, and I think this is what the sector is very acutely aware of, oddly, it doesn't, in some ways, it doesn't feel like an Aotearoa New Zealand curriculum in that regard, which is a shame because actually, if you wanted to have, you know, a knowledge and content rich curriculum that was different from what we currently have, which, as I say, is more competency based and follows achievement objectives, you could actually have that. You could enact that type of curriculum, but that was reflective of our country and our own cultural and linguistic traditions that we have in Aotearoa New Zealand.
You briefly touched on this, but why is it important to engage with Māori and Pacific authors in English classrooms, especially here in a contemporary Aotearoa?
I mean, that's a really good question, and in fact, I think it's a question that this whole process has raised and made us think about, because I guess it's a question about culture and the place of culture in the curriculum. And English as a subject, and I guess English has always been a contentious subject and always will be. There will always be that tussle, you know, between tradition and new ways of thinking and so on. But English is a subject where you can't really take culture out of it. In some ways, culture is kind of its point, because what we do in English is that we celebrate and we focus on the texts that say something and speak to us right, as a nation and as a society. And my sense is that with the coalition government and the minister, there has been a desire, you know, a type of course correction, if you like, from what they would see as something that paid too much attention, perhaps, to culture in sort of under the previous government. So, you know, and they've been quite open. I mean, the governor, Chris Luxon, David Seymour and so on, have been quite open about not wanting any type of policy that looked race-based or stupidity-based in any way. And you can see that has come out in the curriculum, which is quite a concern because, as I say, in the context of English, you can't really take culture out of it, right? And so, yes, you can have your knowledge, you can have your content, but you can't take culture. And my sense is that we've ended up with the curriculum that we have due to a government that is almost allergic to the concept of anything that looks or feels like it's going to look, you know, be race-based. And so they've sort of gone through and produced this curriculum that, as the sector, I think, is quite rightly noting, has got some slightly conservative elements in it, but also doesn't sort of have a strong sense of Aotearoa New Zealand. There's a little bit of sense in there, but, you know, I think we've ended up with something that is quite diminished in that context because it hasn't sufficiently engaged with who we are. So on the one hand, it is part of an international trend. I think we can look at this curriculum and we can look at things that have happened in Australia, for example, and we can make some connections and see how these patterns are emerging. But at the same time, there's that kind of bespokeness or element to it that is particular to our society at the moment, which is to have a government that is committed to not having anything that looks like it's paying too much attention to culture or race-based policy, if that makes sense.
Are there differences about the literary styles of Māori and Pacific authors that could benefit understanding of literacy overall for students?
Of course, you know, haka, and I was talking to a friend of mine just recently. In fact, I was talking to Glenn Cahoon, who's a poet who's recently published a book, two companion texts of oral traditions. One is European Pākehā traditions and the other is Māori oral traditions. And, you know, we were just talking about a haka, for example, the structure of a haka. And so this is, you know, people are saying, well, everyone should know the structure of a sonnet. Why shouldn't young people in New Zealand understand and know the structure of a haka that is equally filled with allusion, metaphor, and all the other things that are connected to, you know, to English, to figurative language and so on. So the advancement of the things that we think of as being very Englishy, or particularly, say, in the context of figurative language, of oral literary traditions, of how we tell stories, particularly stories about who we are and so on, are all right there. So absolutely, students in our country could benefit. I mean, for Māori, it's a way of sustaining their culture. It is not unreasonable for Māori to expect their cultural and their linguistic traditions to be sustained through our education system. That isn't unreasonable. And for the rest of us who are not Māori, why would we not wish to broaden our horizons in this way? These are traditions that are unique to this country. And here was an opportunity, you know, as I say, again, under the desire for a knowledge or content-rich curriculum, here was an opportunity to explore that a little further. And I think we're at the beginnings of that exploration because such an exploration would need to be respectful and slow and obviously in conversation with Māori experts in such you know, in such traditions. So it's not necessarily that I think this curriculum could have produced, you know, here it is, everybody go away and do these things, but the curriculum could have at least started that conversation and created a space within the curriculum in order to do that. And that space may well be there. And I think teachers may well find that space and cultivate that space. However, it, as I say, it's not mandated, and if, you know, as other things are. And if you don't, to mandate something, you give it legitimacy. And so if it's not mandated, then we're saying something about the value, about the worth of such traditions.
You've also touched on this, but why does the country's English curriculum have a responsibility to maintain elements of Te Ao Māori and Te Tiriti o Waitangi?
I think, well, in my view, this is what a national curriculum does. And I guess I have been on the knowledge side, you know, to some degree in all of these debates. So I've not been a supporter of a competency-based curriculum. I think that young people should know things, and, you know, all the other the sorts of competencies that people want, like problem solving, critical thinking and so on, depend on a knowledge base. So you have to have a knowledge base first. But that's one part of curriculum. That's one function of curriculum. It's a very important function. But curriculum also plays a cultural role and a social role in a society. And part of that is that connection to culture. It's saying something to us about who we are. And who we wish to be. And I don't think, again, I think that under the coalition government, there's been a desire to present something that looks neutral, that's free of ideology and so on. And that's all very well. But in fact, you know, there's always some ideology at play anyway. And so what that has created then is a sense that this curriculum, and, you know, the minister keeps saying this is knowledge-rich, informed by the science of learning, which is another topic, but which is all well and good, that's fine, but it reduces curriculum to these functions. And in my view, the work of curriculum is always more expansive in society, and it does have a responsibility. I think that's a good word for it. As I say, it's not unreasonable for Māori to expect that their sociocultural knowledge will be sustained somehow through education. And so that is a responsibility on the curriculum, because the work of curriculum is more than just knowledge, you know. And although I say that as someone who is in principle supportive of a knowledge-based curriculum.
And how should culture play a role in our curriculum?
Well, again, so we'll just go back to English, because it will be different for different subjects, and I can only really talk about English. One of the aspects, I mean, English is literature, it's language and literacy, which is slightly simplistic, but we can think about English in that way. And culture is sort of playing out, right? So it's literature. So we have Māori literature, we have Pacific literature, Pacific authors and Māori authors. So it plays out in that context. So again, if you're going to mandate 19th century texts, why are we not mandating Māori authors or Pacific authors? In the context of language, again, there's, you know, there's the figurative work, but also the cultural traditions, these linguistic traditions. And these linguistic traditions give meaning to culture. They give meaning to our lives. A haka gives meaning to something. A karakia at the beginning of something that's taking place in a marae, for example, the waiata that is sung. These things give meaning to our culture. And in the context of English, they are oral traditions. And oracy is part of English. In fact, in the new curriculum, it talks about reading, writing, and oracy. So, you know, oracy is in there, and these oral traditions give meaning to our cultures in the same way that we all sit around and we put candles on a cake and we sing happy birthday to each other. You know, in Te Ao Māori, there are cultural texts and linguistic traditions that give meaning to the things that we do and to who we are, that are unique to this country. So that's, and I guess that's what I'm thinking, is the connection between culture and English.
That was the University of Auckland's Claudia Rosas on the proposed new English curriculum for intermediate and high school students and the need to engage with Te Ao Māori in the process.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.